Blog Talk Radio.
Today I stumble from my bed with thunder crashing in my head, my pillow still wet from last night's tears. But as I think of giving up, a voice inside my coffee cup kept crying out, ringing in my ears. Don't cry, Daddy. Daddy, please don't cry. Daddy, you still got me and little Tommy. Together we'll find a brand new mommy. Daddy, Daddy, please laugh again. Daddy, ride us on your back again. Oh, Daddy, please don't cry. Why are children always first to feel the pain and hurt the worst? It's true, but somehow it just don't seem right. 'Cause every time I cry, I know it hurts my little children's soul. I wonder, will it be the same tonight? Don't cry, Daddy. Daddy, please don't cry. Daddy, you've still got me and little Tommy. Together we'll find a brand new mommy. Daddy, Daddy, please laugh again. Daddy, ride us on your back again. Oh, Daddy, please don't cry. Oh, Daddy.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. This is EP on Sweet Discussions here at All Poetry. Inside of All Poetry, the world's largest poetry group is Team of Voices, brought to you by AP Taylor's Poetry Foundation. That was Elvis's Don't Cry Daddy, in tribute to Lisa Marie Presley, who died today from a cardiac arrest. Our hearts go out to her and her family. Very tragic news. Kind of broke my heart. It's sad for her family, her children, and Priscilla Presley. It'd be a tough time all around. It just really saddens me. Back, you know, big Elvis fan, big person of that. Elvis Presley's birthday just passed. Sometimes it's odd to mourn people you never knew, but are such a stitch in the weave of the tapestry of your life. So tonight, though, we are celebrating our pets, our loves, our dogs, people that we love. Particularly one that happens to come on my show all the time. And that is Amadeus, the big boy, my pup. Amadeus turns 13 today. It is his 13th birthday party. So we're going to celebrate all things Amadeus, all things pets. So I hope everybody joins us and has fun with that. I have Racketeer with me right now. Say hello, Rack.
Hello, Amadeus.
You know, he's sitting right by me, so that's not too far off. So that's pretty good. I mean, God knows he talks enough, so that's not a problem. So what's going on in your world?
That song, that Elvis song, you know, crushes me a little bit. It's a beautiful song that you picked.
Yeah.
So the open, touching thought.
And there we go.
You want someone to throw the frisbee?
Something like that.
Amadeus, Amadeus. That's a cool song, too.
I know. Yeah, there's so many, like, I should, like, garage of all his old frisbee songs. Like, he did Jump with one of his, Flowrider. Yeah, no, Flowrider. Go ahead and jump, jump, jump. So, so he used to play frisbee to that.
He's a disc master.
Master was pretty funny.
With multiple awards.
And, multiple awards. More about being a jerk, but he was always known as a jester on the field and a bouncy. He used to call him a seal because Amadeus liked to play his own game. He would see the frisbee and then instead of like catching it like a normal dog, he would let it bounce off his nose 3 or 4 times, like, watch me do this, watch me do this, watch me do this. His brother Shadow was much more of the competitive kind of, I'm going to get that, I'm going to get that. Amadeus was like, woo, look at you go, isn't this fun, isn't this fun? He was definitely that kind of dog, but he was so much fun to watch, and he was always so loving and just really, really beautiful out there. So, but he was Amadeus, and that's all people could say, you know, that's Amadeus, that's the Amadeus song. And people love to watch him perform, and he did really good. And, you know, he's always been that court jester. He's just such a goofy dog. But he's also very caring and loving and all that. So but you, when you talk about pets, you got to talk about that kind of dog.
Yeah, I hear tell he saved your life once or twice.
He has done that. He's definitely been that kind of dog.
That's
what I like about it, too.
And for those reasons alone, he deserves a steak.
I know.
It's your birthday. Have a cow.
Yeah, just don't tell him that.
Yeah, he'll pull you up. Yeah, nothing really new on my side. Just, you know,
nothing.
Day by day. Nothing. It's just like being retired or retarded. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I always get too confused. Oh, I'm sorry. That's not politically correct. You're fading away, girl.
Oh, sorry. I know, I can't. I'm thinking about Lisa Marie, and I'm like, I got to celebrate my dog, and I'm like, oh, my God. So let's just talk about that, because I'm preoccupied with it. I'm just so upset because, you know, I'm really upset for Priscilla Presley.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, that poor woman.
Yeah. It's heart-wrenching. It really is.
I mean,
it's funny.
Can you even imagine what this poor woman is going through? And I'm not that much older than her. I think that's bothering me, too.
Ah. You mentioned celebrating people you don't know. You know, that's kind of the funny thing about celebrities sometimes. You know, they put, you know, a little bit of themselves in the stuff that they do, so you know them in a little way, but not, you know, in a real way. It's funny. You start to feel, you know, closer and see things and you know, bond things. It's weird and a little, I think, scary to them too, I'm sure. Because, you know, all these people, you know, that know all about their lives and they're just trying to earn a living.
Yeah. Maybe that's it. I really don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just freaking out about it, and I'm like, wow. So this is Sweet Pea freaking out. She doesn't talk, which is very unusual for anybody that knows me, because I usually never shut up. So now I'm shocked, and this is silence. So that's not really good to be shocked when you're doing a radio show, because silence is not good. Silence is bad on the radio. And so, you know, oh, wait. Here's Hatter. Hatter will help me. Hey, Hatter, how are you?
Boy, you just let me sit there.
I know. I'm shocked because I'm shocked. And I'm silent when I get shocked. So this is unusual.
Yeah, I heard about Reese and Marie.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
And I'm shocked.
Yeah.
So when I get shocked, I get silent, and that's like this for a radio show. And so I'm like, oh, Hatter's here. Good. Maybe Hatter can help talk, you know, because that's so crazy to me. Poor woman, you know, passes away, leaves her children, leaves her poor mom, you know. And I'm supposed to be talking, obviously, about Amadeus, but I'm going to take a minute and just kind of digest this. So because otherwise I'm just going to be...
Amadeus admired Lisa Marie, so.
Yeah. Well, I did like, you know, Amadeus liked Elvis, so he was inspired for, you know, by that music anyway.
Shocked, I
got to stay tonight. Huh?
I'm finishing my poem.
Okay. Well, that's a good thing. We should start with poems. That's always a good thing. Wow. Okay. So, that's a good thing. Let's do that. Let's start with poetry. I'm good with that. I can do poetry. I can always do poetry. All right. Rack, which was your favorite pet?
My favorite pet. I had a cat. He wasn't a pure breed. He was a Manx. Manx cats have no tail. So since he wasn't a pure breed, he had a little stub, and he used to make it spin around like a little pinwheel. That was like my cat. He used to sleep on my feet, follow me around, and he'd get mad at me if I moved. Yeah.
Oh my God, that's too funny. Pinwheel cat. Because what's funny about that is, Australian Shepherds have their tails docked. And I've had Shadow, who didn't get his tail docked. And then I have Remington, who has a natural bobtail. So he wasn't docked either. But he has a short, nubby tail, which is hilarious because it doesn't really wag, but his whole body wags, but his tail is hilarious. It's so funny. All right, so this is a Amadeus poem written by me, but it's in tribute to my boy. And I love the picture of him because he's sticking out his tongue, like really just attitude all over the place. So this is The Color of Your Frisbee. I won't go home. I'm in my prime for playtime. I don't care what I'm told. I'm 8 years old. I'm not the pup, so suck it up and throw me. some more of my frisbees, if you please. My body will let you know when I'm too tired to run with the wind. After all, everyone in this park must see me fly, not hear me bark. For my fans, I endure the abuse. Now throw me the one colored chartreuse. Can you not see this face? It isn't going anyplace, so there is nothing you can do. Wait, did you say we were going home for food? End quote.
That's beautiful. You've got the childishness and playfulness all wrapped up in, you know, the curiosity of a dog and the natural enthusiasm and beauty of watching them play. Because, you know, I think, you know, you can't help but smile when you see the dog bound through grass or whatever, chasing, you know, something stupid, even if it's a butterfly, you know. There's so many different attitudes and personalities and you know, the ones that want to interact with you are always so cool. You know, there's some of them are indifferent. They're like, you know, I ain't going to get it. You threw it. And then there's the other one that was like, you know, where'd it go?
Yeah, he's just so...
Big ball of energy.
Yeah. They just want to please their owner. That's what their drive is.
Absolutely.
And they do. Their butt wiggles so freaking hard. It hurts.
I don't know how they do it. I don't know how they can possibly wiggle so hard.
I've seen you look. You know how they do it.
It's crazy. Insane. Yeah, absolutely.
The thing about Aussies is they're so loyal that you don't have to train them in that manner to protect you and yours, because he becomes a member of your clan and he knows his job. And my wife, when we had the East Side Rapist here in Sacramento, my ex-wife got a dog, an Australian Shepherd, and they attack trained him, and he didn't need to do it. It ruined it. It made him psycho. And he was so protective of Stacy that it was almost dangerous. But yeah, you don't need to do that to an Australian Shepherd. They're so intelligent.
Wow. First off, I didn't know you were around with the East Side Rapist. You know, he's one of the most prolific killers in our time.
You remember that?
Anyway, we won't get into that. Oh my god.
Yeah.
Oh my god. That's
crazy.
His
description. His description fit me. I was pulled over 3 times.
Oh my god.
Followed.
Are you kidding?
No, I was followed to work by a couple guys in a Jeep.
Oh my god.
You fit a description.
I do. I did. Able to leap fences in a single bound. Not a problem.
Oh my god.
I wasn't the only one. That happened to a lot of guys with you know, light hair, physically fit, and
wow. That's a totally other show now I've got to get into. He was horrific.
Yeah, all about the protection of the dogs.
Yeah. They are protected, let me tell you.
Yeah, they are.
They are wicked protected.
It was. I remember Blue one time, we had a wild cat deliver babies in the warehouse, and so I took it home for the kids and everything. And anyway, we had 7 little kitties, and Blue would sit beside me, and these little kitties would come up and cuddle up in between his paws when he's laid down. And I sat there, and his cue was, that's a baby. If I said that's a baby, that means don't growl, don't bite, don't even think about it. And he would sit there, and he would shake when these little kittens were all over him. He'd look up at me, and I go, you poor dog. Then I'm watching him, and the runt of the litter, little bitty key, climbed over his paw and started walking away. He reached his paw out, pulled him back in. I go, you love it. Aww. He knew his job. Yeah.
It makes me think of the cartoon with the cat and the big fat bulldog, Spike, I think he was. And the cat would go on his back and like, you know, just cuddle up in the... Yep. You remember.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Back when cartoons were good.
Yeah.
The cartoons were good.
Don't get me started.
Yeah. So I was going to read you Blue. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
That's too sad.
Let me get it.
One of my favorite poems.
There it is. Can we just read it?
You want to read it? You want me to read it?
Well, you want me to post it, or you want me to just read it?
Well, I want you to post it if you're going to read it.
Okay.
You got to give him an address.
And there it is.
All right.
That's a picture of Blue. He was a tricolor. It was like this. In a better time of my life, I had a dog named Blue. The day I got him, there was five other pups all at my feet trying for my attention. But at the far corner of the pen sat a tricolored puppy. He did nothing but stare at me, turning his head when I spoke as if he was the only one that understood. It was immediate by choice of who it was to become my best friend. He was then brought out alone, and when he saw me, he ran with his ears back and into my life. Blue was a tricolored Australian Shepherd, and I fell in love. Blue was to be my companion, my friend, and the protector of all things called mine. I had learned when raising a pup to let him sleep upon my chest, as his heart beat would become mine, and he would not know the difference. The training of Blue started the first day, and he would not leave my side for longer than a couple of hours at a time. Blue could do anything I taught him to do. I could stop him on a full run. He would fetch anything I asked him to. Blue grew to be my best friend I ever had. Blue went to work with me always. When someone had issues with a dog on the site, it only lasted as long as it took for me to show them the special animal he was. And he went where I went. So if I was to stay, Blue would also. Blue would sit and stay anywhere I told him to. I could leave him in a spot guarding my tools, and he would stay until my return, or if he heard me whistle for him. For years, Blue was my partner at work and always my best friend. I was constantly seeking a job with benefits and better pay for my family as my family was growing. One day that happened. It was then that I realized Blue would not be able to be with me like he had for years. I'm sure Blue was a little confused when the days counted down to the first day at my new job, and I hugged him constantly, and I'm sure he felt my heartache. The thought brought tears to my eyes, and that first day, it was like saying goodbye to him. He whined, pushing against my legs as though he knew for the first time he couldn't go. Each day, he would greet me at the door, and I thought after the first week, things would get easier. Buying a house dictated that Blue would have to stay at my parents' for some time. Every day, I would go visit him before going home. My dad told me Blue cried when I would leave. He told me he had never seen that before, and I should find a way to have Blue with me. My parents loved Blue, as did everyone that ever met him. One day visiting my dad, he told me how Blue had chewed the bottom of the fence and took off down the street. My dad had witnessed this, and with one command, Blue stopped and came to him. This hurt me as I raised him to be a part of me, and I failed and seeing how much I was a part of him as well. 2 days later, my dad called. He said Blue took off. And when he called, Blue just kept going. My dad said he was looking for you, son. He jumped the fence and never looked back. I heard the crack in my dad's voice that I saw the tear roll down his cheek. For days, weeks, and months, I looked for Blue, always believing he would show up at my door one day. Checking the shelter and placing the posters became so painful I had to stop. To this day, I don't know what happened to Blue. I'd like to think he found a family that took care of him in his last years, but the hole in my heart must have only been a dot to the one Blue had in his. The day he jumped an impossible fence trying to find a place he had never been before. I had never had another dog. I failed my best friend, and it was too long. It was too hard, and it'd be too hard to do it again. I have had hundreds of animals around me in places that I lived, but I've never had another dog. Maybe someday I will be able to forgive myself, but not today. If Blue isn't waiting for me in heaven, I don't want to go.
Every time you read that, I cry. Every time. Every time. How long ago was that?
It feels like it was just last year or something, instead of shit over 20 years ago.
I wish you'd understand how wonderful it would be. And I know you're probably not in a position to do it now, but I mean, it took me close to over 10 years to get another Aussie. So I know how you feel. It took me. Because I totally feel like I failed my very first, my girl. Her name was Patches. And she came to me and she just came and looked at me and I knew something was wrong. And just came up to me and I knew there was something wrong with her. And the kids came home and she ate, she drank, hung out with the kids in the backyard, she did everything. And she came back to me later that night and she was all pale and she just about collapsed. I ran her to the emergency vet and her spleen exploded. And if I would have listened to her earlier in the day, she might have been able to live. But I didn't. I didn't listen to her. It took me almost 11 years before I got another dog.
I know how it feels. I've had people say I'm selfish, that I should be able to give a home to another dog. I just can't. I just can't.
Mm-mm. No. It took a long, long time for me to say, I'm strong enough to do this again. But yeah, I know exactly how I feel because I feel if I had listened to her, she came to me and told me there was a problem. And I thought maybe she had gotten into something, she felt bad, she was, you know, in the trash or something, but she was really, really sick and I didn't listen. And she died that night.
If her spleen exploded, I don't think there was anything that you could have done. I mean, you comforted her.
But I didn't listen. She had a tumor on her, no, not her spleen, her liver. She had a tumor on her liver that burst on her liver. But I mean, I don't care. I should have listened to her. Maybe they could have done emergency surgery. Maybe they could have done something. But I don't know. I'll never
How
know.
Old How old was she?
She was 10. 10. Yeah, I'll never know.
You know, you got to celebrate the life of the animals. When you get an animal.
And I do.
Dog, you know, the day you get him, you know that day is going to come. That you're going to have to say goodbye to him. And sometimes you have to make a choice on quality of life. And that's just part of being a good owner.
Yep. But that was just it. She never showed any signs of being sick. Never. Not once. Even that day.
Yeah.
As soon as my sons came home, she was in the backyard playing. She had dinner with them. She did everything fine. As soon as they went to bed, she came back to me. It was so weird. It's like, sometimes I get mad at her. I'm like, why didn't you just be sick? Why did you just stay sick? No, you had to go and do your thing. But that is what it is, you know. But it took a long time.
Yeah.
Like forever. I didn't think I'd ever.
Everything about Blue, I remember. I remember the day in the pen when there was five other dogs all jumping around and Blue sat back there and was just looking at me. I remember the drive home. I remember the first week or so of training and all the times he went to work with me. And I just didn't even think about it, getting a new job. I didn't think Blue wasn't going to be able to be with me.
Yeah.
It makes
crazy.
It feel like you failed him.
Well, I'll tell you what. I've got, right now, I'm taking care of someone else's border collie because they had to give him up.
Oh.
And this is, the guy had to just, it had to break his heart to give up this dog, let me tell you. This dog is smart, sweet. He's smart, one of the smartest dogs I've ever known. Just so brilliant, so sweet, so kind. I can't imagine how horrible this guy feels. But he's being loved. He's being taken care of. He's got a great home. And, you know.
Well, he should be very thankful. Very should ease his mind a little bit knowing that dog is in a good place.
Yeah, he really is.
Have you ever seen the video of the Scot? I think they're Scottish. They have border collies.
Where they put them in all the little
the light strings on the sheep. And then by whistles, he had the dog. That's him at night. It was pretty excellent.
Yeah.
They're
awesome.
So smart.
Yeah. All right. I have a poem from Kay, which I am going to put on the board and read.
I did write another one.
Oh, good. I'm glad. So this is Cow Tipping the Brigade.
Where's the group?
Whole scene for reason ain't no amateur to this rodeo. Cows with guns packing heat with chickens, brotherhood in arms, plain caps marching to battle. I couldn't say these cows. Does a Guernsey give chocolate milk when squeezed? Don't squeeze too hard. I hear their kicks are vicious. A chatty Cathy's whispered of pie robe to plains is mooing to open a pie stand. Cluck, cluck goes the feathers. An Angus cattle shoots the evils at the absurdity. Shetlands just want to have fun. The Belmont Red is now in flames. Did the white park stop at Winter Park? Beware the Full Moon. A cow looking like Dexter snapped and has gone serial. Texas Longhorns and Galloways, henson to be the beef master. Marching to bloody revolt is it is off to find some heron after the stampede of man. Hitch a ride with some charbrays with Cluck and Moo off into the bloody good night. Look for fresh meat to put on the hook. Look in the zen. Spotting venom with machetes. Poison the cow done snap. Your skeleton head soon be a souvenir around his neck. Whatever you do, don't stay moved. This is damn funny. I love this. And I'm sorry I can't say all the right cow names because I'm horrible at it. And this is an amazing poem. And I should not have been the one that read it because I cannot say chabret. And I know I totally screwed that word up. And I'm sorry, babe.
Wonder if she's amazing Charlay.
Huh?
Charlay Guernsey. There's Guernsey and Charlay. I wonder, I don't recognize that other name
it's,
either.
I always want to call them Jersey cows, but they're not. They're Guernsey. Anyway, Guernsey's. For me to try to figure it out, yeah, I keep slaughtering it. Slaughter the word. But
okay.
The freaking poem is hilarious. I love this poem. It's one of my favorites. Why is it saved to one of my list? I don't know. Oh, it is saved to my list. K from Ohio. Fuck. Good idea. Yes. But yeah, I love that. I love this so much. I still think it's hilarious. And I love, yeah. I like looking zen. Looking for fresh meat to put on a hook. Looking zen. I love the cadence and the way it goes back and forth and all the fun stuff. Raconteur, despite my butchery of it. What do you think of this beautiful poem?
Shetlands just want to have fun, huh? I thought it was wonderful.
Yeah.
I love the playfulness of it. You know, you look at them sometimes and I don't know. It's almost like they can be human, you know. Their personalities seem to come out, and all the animals sometimes, and she's captured that what's the word I'm fishing for? That trait, I guess. That thing that not everybody has sometimes that just makes them come alive to you. It's really cool. It captures your imagination. She did a great job with it.
Yeah, she did.
Oh.
Very excited for her. Very excited for her. All right. How did you got your other one up there?
Yeah, I don't think I want to read that one.
Want me to read that one?
Yeah, go ahead. I don't think it's very good. I think I should work on it.
Oh, I love the picture. Where'd you get the picture?
I just Googled it. Australian.
Just Googled it?
Australian Frisbee. Yeah.
Oh, cool. It's a great picture.
Anybody you know?
I don't know. I can't tell.
I wish I had more pictures. Yeah.
Many more to come, Amadeus. A day you can celebrate. A 7-year long, a talent to see an Australian dog. Background barks, he says, what about me? Today it's him in a birthday party. Amadeus, my name, he's ready to go. In front of 1,000, he does his show. Throw far and watch as he fly to please. A dish thrown far by our sweetest sweet pea. Cameras flash and people scream. A dog so special, he's a living dream. Fly high, Amadeus, beware of the sun. Chasing disc, he's having fun. Happy birthday to the dog we hear among us. Many more to celebrate. He's called Amadeus. I love this. This is perfect. What do you mean it's not any good? This is great. I love
Thank
it.
You. It sounded better when you read it.
Yeah.
That's amazing. What do you think, Rack?
Oh yeah, it was lovely. I dogs, animals in general, they just, you know, they turn me into a 2-year-old. It was beautiful. I want to play
that's
now.
I want to play with my puppy. I want to play with my puppy.
Now I'm gonna be thinking of Blue for the next week.
I know. I'm sorry. Okay, so I'm gonna read my other one.
It doesn't take much for that flash to happen in my brain. I know,
but that's all.
I wish I could get over it.
Yeah.
You'll never get over it. No, we never get over the heart dog. All right. Here's my... And this picture of Amadeus won't help you because he got that look. So this is called Old Dog. I took it out of him. That's his picture. That's his 13th birthday picture.
Wow, yeah.
This old dog. In the early morning darkness before the light meets the earth, I lay my head against her pillow and we began to converse. Today I could hear a giggle in her caress, dipped in a teardrop of distress. So I snuggled even closer and licked her tiny hand to help her understand that her heart and lungs were strong. And she buried her head into my sizable white chest and sighed, "Happy birthday, my beautiful old dog." I cocked my head in wonder at the names I had been called, To Stop and Oh My God, but Old is a name I don't remember. And I'm sure I was not in trouble, for the sun had yet to rise. I pondered at the suggestion of the word old and its meaning. So because I watched my brother cross the Rainbow Bridge and raise two puppies, one who is a pistol, I see myself in him. I wonder if the old dog is about the times we spent together, riding the cement highways, play frisbee with friends, in places around the globe everyone loved to throw. I thought maybe the old dog lived in her heart now that she was well. Is it my duty? It is my duty I keep my eyes on her. She gets shaky sometimes. And I gently push her down. She doesn't know, so shh, don't tell. I wouldn't say I like it when she cries. I lay next to her, and she holds me so tight. Maybe an old dog will dry her tears and help her sleep at night. The bottom line is, I don't know what an old dog is at all. But I know I'm her dog. And if she needs an old dog, that is what I will be. For my love is endless for the woman who lays next to me, petting my head and conversing with me and Paul.
Hmm.
I love the line, I don't know what an old dog is, you know. Yeah. It's the golden years of an animal. I do remember the day. There was a park that we used to go to. We called it Minnesota Park. And it was just a deep valley. The roads on both sides were real high, and then it went down, and in the bottom there was just a long, you know, the bottom of the view, and you sit there and throw the frisbee as far as you can. And Blue would take off. And people were amazed at how fast he was, and then he would bring it back every time. Then he went and got one, and he laid down. It's the first time he didn't bring it back. I think he was telling me, it's hot. Yeah. I had it, and I'm done. So he just sat out there with his frisbee. Later he brought it to me. I said, okay, buddy,
That's
I got you.
It's hot.
Yeah, well, it was. It is hot out, and, you know, Aussie's got a full coat. Mm-hmm. He's got that undercoat.
Wow. That's funny. I had our mystique do that once. It was hilarious because she was little, and she was, like, in a heat round, and they had thrown, like, five times. These two dogs were going back and forth. And one of the last throws, she looked behind her at my husband, Bob, and she's like, no. And she didn't want to run anymore. She walked into her kennel, laid down, and went to sleep. She's like, the other dog can win. I don't care anymore.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm done. Let anyway. Him win. I'm not doing this anymore. I don't care if I win. Yeah. I'm tired. But she was like 13 months old, and she was just a pup, and she really, to be honest with you, should not have been that far in the competition at the age, but she was. But she was like, I don't care, I'm tired. She literally took her frisbee and everything and went to bed.
Wow.
It was hilarious.
It's just like anything, dog's got to be used to that, and just like a human, you've got to be in training, you got to be fit. So, yeah, you could peter out easily. And they do. Mm-hmm. They run hard. Everything they do is just hard.
Oh, they do.
Just as much as they can do for you.
Absolutely. They run hard. Oh, God.
You know, the one thing I didn't know about Boo, I think he was a little racist. I didn't know that. A friend of mine went into the Navy, and when he came back, his name was Paul, and Paul had a big black beard. He was dark, sort of not real dark skin, but, you know, olive skin type. And so he showed up with a big black beard and black hair, and Blue sat between my legs at the door and growled. And then, with one other incident with a smud guy, he needed to get in the back because that's where the meter was. And Blue acted the same way at the door. Like, oh, man, I'm sorry. I didn't know my dog would do that. I mean, he didn't do anything. Just a guy in the uniform happened to be an African-American. And I got to thinking, well, you know what? To tell the truth, Blue wasn't around as much. In fact, none at the time. Can't remember. I remember softball, but I couldn't take him to the softball games.
Mm.
But that was my bad, I guess. Yeah, some people get freaked out about dogs.
Yeah.
Guy at the door. He didn't know what to think of him. So.
Wow.
You know, if Blue wanted to, he could have bolted, and I wouldn't have been able to stop him. But he went right between my legs and sat there and growled. Oh, I'm sorry, man.
Wow.
We used to have when it was a new guy on site. I was at this one construction site for 2.5 years. I was the only electrician out there. I did all from underground to move in phases, and every time there was a new crew member of the foreman. He would have a cleanup crew, just a bunch of some laborers, and you know. And every time he got a new guy, he would tell me what we would do is I would tell him to go to the El Camino. There's a bucket in the back, and grab me a hammer. So Big Phil, who's the foreman, would tell him, go down to the El Camino, grab a hammer out of the bed. Well, that's where Blue was laying. That's where I left him. He couldn't see him because he's laying down. So he'd get, and we'd trot down there, and all of a sudden Blue would pop up and sit there and look at him. He'd walk slow and to the El Camino and try to reach in. And every time he pulled, Blue would lean toward his hand. He'd pull the hand back, lean, and Blue would sit straight back up. Never would bark or growl. And it happened about 5-6 times, and nobody ever brought back a hammer. just blew in the car. Had to be. I miss him. I really miss him.
Yeah, Pat. I never knew, but I miss him.
Wow. That's crazy.
And the snack truck, that was the junk truck that would come in for the morning and lunch break, she knew Blue was around, and I would leave Blue with my tools, whatever unit that I was in. I could pick off my tools and tell them to stay and go down to the truck. And I asked her one time if my dog could have one of her homemade burritos. And she said, yeah. So I whistled, and Blue come tearing down to me. Grabbed it. I said, load up. And he went running back to my tools. He sat there and ate it. So every day I would whistle, and he'd come down and get a free burrito from the lady. And then go right back up and guard my tools. He knew his job. I didn't have to teach him that. He just knew it. Now, the thing is, other people would whistle, and then he wouldn't come. Other people would whistle, that he wouldn't come. So he knew my whistle. Well, maybe because I would yell his name at the same time. Yeah.
They do that. Like, anybody can call them, but if you call them, they know you're...
Yeah. It was wild when he knew my whistle from other guys. I was like, wow, that's weird. But that's how acute their hearing is, I guess. And all I would have to do is go load up. That meant go back where you were. Either you're in the back of the truck, back in the car, back to the door, back to my tools. And every time I'd go back, and there he was. There he was.
At least your parents didn't
barge
in on you.
What's that?
I said at least your parents couldn't barge in on you.
You don't know that.
I remember when the developer was there, the owner, big owner, the money guy, he saw Blue, and he said, get that dog off the site. And Big Phil defended Blue. Well, it wasn't just me. He said, oh, no, you don't understand. Because so Phil would yell my name, and I'd run up there. He said, have a meet Blue. So the guy's name was Len. Whistle for Blue. Blue come tearing up, and sit down and run him through some tricks. Tell him to go load up in the El Camino and run down there and load up and stand there and look at me. He goes, yeah, that dog could stay. But no others. Which is good. So I don't know what I would have done. And it was great because I didn't have to worry. I didn't have to worry about material in the back of my El Camino that people could walk by and grab if Boo was there.
Right.
Real sense of, security.
Porpoise. The dog had porpoise.
Well, at one house, we call it the Palm House. That's the first house that I owned. And but it was a ranch style, really long, single story, had a real long, dark hallway. And at night, with no lights on back there, you couldn't see the door, you couldn't see the end of the hallway. It really was sort of spooky. Blue would end up sitting there staring from a room away. There was the great room, the hall, the great room, and then the den, the fireplace, everything else. Blue would sit there, face that hallway, and just sit there and stare down that hall, like he's looking at something. He was up. I go, what do you see? What do you see? He'd look at me, and he'd just look back down that hall. That was a house that was. It was possessed. It had something in it. It got so bad that my wife grabbed the kids and moved into another house that we were buying. And I stayed in that one stayed in the Palm House for a while, and that's where I had the band. The rock band, the garage band. all set up and everything. And a couple incidents with them. The drummer, Mickey Voss, took off. It happened to him. He took off and never came back. Left his drums for months.
That's crazy.
But that's
all right, I got a couple poems to read from Dad.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to read. This is for ruining the holiday. She castrated, berated, and prayed at him for the dog. Wow. By Deborah Lee. Meet the Duchess from Mount Marshmallow. The blush on her cheeks so bright they glow. Chastising the Duke dressed in butter yellow. She's sitting rage as she yells at the fellow. And he whimpers, then a certification flow. When the aspirations flow, broadcasting all the dirty details blow by blow. He rode off to the village on a wooden sled. Then, with two fleas, he painted the town red. So she dropped that ass, just like ignits of lead. Say, feet do carry him, but the zombified man's dead. Now atop that porcelain platter sits his big head, plated for the guard dog that the butler hand set. End of poem. Nice. What do you do with a cheating man? You feed him to the dog. What do you think, Hatter?
Mr. Hat.
Unmuted. I've seen. I can't zoom in on this. This browser won't zoom in. So, I've seen pictures of the old collar things the Quakers would wear, or they wear these frilly collar things. Remember those? I've seen dogs with those pictures of dogs with those on it. I'm wondering if that was. I always thought it was sort of fake, but I'm wondering if they really did put them around house dogs, and the dogs were basically your security. You know, you
better
can't tell the cops.
That's funny.
Yeah. But, where he castrated for ruining the holidays, he castrated, he rated and plated him for a dog. Ouch. Mount Marshmallow.
Mount Marshmallow.
And then he'd row up to the village. Wooden sled. With two floozies of pants on it. Well, Deborah kid, what she writes, she could pretty much tell what mood she was in.
Mm-hmm.
For her dog Karma, she I can't read that.
Emancipate.
Oh, he roasted the cheater. Oh, roasted Karma. She roasted the cheater.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, his mistress, she'll feed the cheater.
Yes.
Cool name for a dog, Karma.
Yeah. What'd you think, Rack?
I thought it was lovely.
Yeah.
A lot of dog poems make me sad.
A lot of dog poems make you sad.
Well, you know, I want a dog. I had one for a short while, and you know, for the very reason that Blue kind of ran away on Hatter. You know, his dogs are pack animals, and I couldn't stay home and take care of him. I had to give him up. I was leaving, you know, 5 a.m. to get on to go to work, and I was getting home at 10 p.m.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, that's part of the responsibility to the dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how much time you spend with your dog when he's little is the dog you'll have. I hate people that don't train their dogs. They don't do anything when they're puppies and then yell at them for years when they're old. They don't know what to do. You never train. He doesn't know.
Yeah, I love my dog. What do you want? I'm doing exactly what you told me to do. Nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, and then off to the pound one day. So.
Yeah, I have no idea. I'm paying for this right now. With Remington. Remington is 2 years old. In that 2 years, I had open heart surgery and my father died. So poor Remington has not had like the intense training that Amadeus got or Mystique got. And so, well, I mean, I had open heart surgery and my dad died, but he is a handful. And part of that is because we didn't get to spend the time that I have had spent with my other dogs. So we're paying for it right now. Not that he's not learning more now, but it's harder. It's definitely harder because he hasn't had that, you know, major intense.
Yeah. He's got to learn from the other
different.
Dogs, too. Like, he can, you know,
well,
learn
he does,
the other
but
dogs.
It's still.
Yeah.
It's just funny.
So if
it's just,
if you were to get another dog back, what kind would you get?
The dog that I had, he was a Collie Shepherd mix. He was gorgeous.
Yeah.
I love that dog.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think the Border Collies are the
yeah.
smartest animals. Australian Shepherds are right there, too. They're the smartest dogs there is, Border Collies and Fosse's.
Yeah.
He had the tricolor, the white, the tan, and the black.
Tricolor? Three colors?
Yeah. Yeah, the tan, the white, and black. He's a big goof.
Okay.
When you know, Thunder would like practically knock you on your ass trying to get under your feet to hide.
Yeah. I almost got a bloodhound. I wanted
they're fun
I
too.
I thought I wanted a bloodhound.
get a basset hound. They're so much fun. Basset hounds are just hilarious. They're fun.
Wiener dog.
That
yeah.
was always, one of the dreams was to train. I wanted to be one of the rescue dogs. I'm a couple hours from the ski resorts.
You going to teach him how to carry the keg?
Yeah, how to find people, you know? In the snow or
fetch me the keg.
That's why the bloodhound. But I think I learned that bloodhounds are a handful. They can be really they're not really good family dogs with little kids. I mean they can be. Any breed can have a gentle dog, but that's what my kids were small at the time. So.
Yeah. It's all insane.
You got to call him Duke, you know?
Duke of what?
The Beverly Hillbillies. That was Jed's dog, Duke.
Duke. Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay.
Hey, I got a trivia question.
All right, guys,
on Petticoat Junction. Remember the little dog? What was the name? What was his name?
I don't know what Petticoat Junction is, so that's going to have to be something I cannot answer.
That was the one with the three sisters in the water tower at the beginning of the thing.
Yeah, the moving kind of slow with the junction. The train is the only way to get into the house. Petticoat Junction. You don't remember that, Sweet Pea?
She didn't watch
no.
it.
Huh. Probably not.
Yeah, Meredith McCray is one of the sisters.
She doesn't even know what a petticoat is.
Oh, I know what a petticoat is because I watched Gone with the Wind.
Stop, I'm kidding.
They swam naked in the water tower.
Mm. I don't remember watching what you're talking about, so.
Well, the dog
I didn't watch
was,
a lot of.
The dog, in the story, or in the show, the dog sort of adopted them. He just showed up one day. They called it Dog. I didn't know
Dog.
It was Dog.
I know a guy that named his dog Dog.
I had a guy that had a big, not Rottweiler, he was a pit bull, but he was huge. He named him Batman. No, he was a Rottweiler. Yeah, he was a Rottweiler. Called him Batman.
Batman.
That's awesome.
I had learned that you want to keep a pattern when you're training your dog. Single consonant letters are commands. Stop. Come. And then praise is anything more. Like, good dog. Good dog. You know, two. But you bark the orders. That's what he's going to... That's what I trained him. I don't know. Seemed to work. He took off after a cat one time, and I called him, and he stopped on a dead run. I was proud of him. he was
cool.
Young.
That's awesome. All right, I got one more poem to read from Deb. Spring Shower Soap Explorer Doggy Siblings. I love that picture, though.
Yeah. I want to see if I can find a picture of one of those dogs with his collar. How I'd search a dog.
So this is from Deborah Lee, Spring Shower Soak Explorer Doggy Siblings by Deborah Lee. Cornflower pigments strike the sky, freckled by fat shrouds of opal white. A bald eagle flies into the blue horizon, stained with bright tangerine-tinted light. With the sun shining on the meadows, lovebirds sing from the tops of trees. Blossoming flowers perfume the air, and butterflies surf on the breeze. As two piggyback puppy playmates run around green clover leaf field, the honeybees buzz in the background. Collectors of pollen that honey hives yield. 9 baby rabbits hop on the mountainside, dotted with patches of periwinkle flowers. Then rain clouds floating on the skyway, sprinkle gardens with April showers. Spring colors blanket the landscapes, yellow daffodils and pink orchards bloom. Magnolia and cherry trees line the valley, dropping petals on the edge of the lagoon. And oh, this is awesome.
Makes
I
me
love
want
the visuals in here. Yeah, I love the
makes,
visuals in here.
Makes me wish it was warmer.
No, it's cool. Yeah.
Beautiful.
I love that picture so much.
Yeah, wish I could draw like that or paint like that.
I can't do either.
You know, Aussie, do you know what a soft mouth is?
Right.
You can never say all of them in a breed. Because you're going to have some that just want to chew shit up all the time. But as a trait, they really have real soft mouths, and which means they'll bring back fragile things. They won't chew up a bird if he's a retriever. That's a soft mouth.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, Boo, mm-hmm. On Easter, I'd hide the eggs for the kids. Boo would bring them back to me.
That's funny. Because when we play Frisbee, we have hard fights and soft fights. And Yeah. Some of our dogs, you can't use a frisbee more than one round, and other of our dogs, you can use it like 100 times. Yeah. Yeah, I know the hard bite and the soft bite. Like, it's crazy.
So do you keep your teeth in or out when you catch the frisbee?
I keep them out. It hurts too much.
Soft bite.
You know. Yeah, very soft bite.
We appreciate that.
Yeah, good. Yeah, absolutely. Got to do that.
Sunday Hatter.
Someday. You guys are just so funny.
We love you, sweet.
I know you do. All right, guys. We've got no more poems, so we're going to go ahead and wrap everything up tonight. Thank you for joining me tonight. I really appreciate it very, very much.
Always
fun. Thank you for coming and talking to me about pets and Blue and all the other things that we had. It was so much fun.
It was a sweet discussion.
It was a sweet discussion. So I appreciate all that very much. You guys have a great night, as always. Thank you to the AP Poetry Foundation for sponsoring Team of Voices.
Tomorrow is an unbirthday.
Uh-huh.
You're all uninvited.
All uninvited to the unbirthday party. That's right. You have an unbirthday party tomorrow night.
Friday the 13th.
All right. I unfortunately will not be there tomorrow. I'm ready to cry.
You can't be there?
I don't think I can. I might be able to stop by, but I won't be there for the whole time.
All right. Well, if you can hit and run.
I'll keep your seat warm.
I can hit and run. Great. I'll see what I can do.
Okay.
Definitely. All right, guys. I will talk to you guys later. Thanks for coming in. Thanks for talking to me. I love you guys very much. You're my favorites. Shh, don't tell anybody else. But have a good night. Thank you for joining me tonight. We'll talk soon.
Good night.
You too.
Good night, guys.
Good night, dude.